Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, September 15th, 2016, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. This week in particular, we're kind of reflecting on the 15th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, and where we are 15 years later, the arduous and toilsome path that has brought us here, and in the words of Nesta Webster, whither we are being led. Things have changed dramatically in a variety of ways in the post 9/11 era. During yesterday's broadcast, Fred mentioned during his call the video published by Al Jazeera English titled Empire, the Rise of the Oligarchs. And it's an interesting video. I want to play that in the first hour, and then we'll talk about it in the second hour. I will say two things. First of all, the video is, it really just kind of addresses, it touches on the high points of the discussion of oligarchy, and there is much more to say on that, on each one of the points that is raised in the documentary. And as the idiom goes, the devil is in the details. So both literally and figuratively, I would say the devil is in the details in this case. There's more to the story. And the second thing I would say in conjunction with that is the trouble that I think most folks run into if they haven't done their homework on the details. And it's interesting. I feel like I'm fairly well acquainted with most of the subject matter. I was the person who, encouraged by a friend, local friend, Bill in Idaho, who recently passed away, he was the guy who encouraged me to look at what was going on in our own little sleepy bedroom community of North Idaho, resort community, to see if there was some kind of paramilitary presence. I actually, based on his encouragement to start looking, I found Eric Prince's own signature, name and signature, on the application for a limited liability company in the acquisition of the Backup Training LLC that was Coeur d'Alene based at the time. And that gave Blackwater a hardline connection, essentially, into every post academy around the country. Something that, to my knowledge and in my understanding, they didn't have, certainly not to that extent prior to the acquisition of the Backup Training LLC, because at the time, that company bragged itself as the world leader in CD-ROM-based law enforcement training. So subsequent to the acquisition of the Backup Training LLC, Blackwater became a prolific law enforcement training agency and pumped that black water into the veins of every post academy in the country, and really from there around the world as well. So I'm familiar with that whole story. I've spoken with Jeremy Scahill personally, and we've met a couple of times, and I gave him that information, which was not part of the compendium of information that he had and was obviously published in his book, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. So that was an interesting point. And then there is the subject of the subprime contagion. I spent some time in the financial services and particularly the mortgage industry, and actually shortly before the crash, which was interesting and I saw that coming. Anyone with any sense, I think, saw that coming. But, you know, having a unique, I think, understanding of that information as well, especially that industry, the mortgage industry and financial services at large, gave me a unique understanding. And seeing the changes that were suggested by the G30, the Group of 30, that the G20 nations, the United States in particular, adopted, like the mark-to-market accounting change, for instance, that was one of the precursors to the collapse. Just months before, shortly before the collapse of Lehman Brothers and the fire sale on mortgage-backed securities, the United States government switched from GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, to mark-to-market accounting. And that sounded great as the market was going up, which it had for some time. It was already starting to cool by the time that change was made. And mark-to-market, when the market is going up and you mark up with the market, sounds great. But what happens when the market collapses? Well, that's what happened with Lehman. And there was a fire sale on mortgage-backed securities, which had been allowed to infiltrate every savings account virtually around the world, polluting savings and retirement funds, 401ks, in direct contravention to the Glass-Steagall Act, which had been passed in the 30s to prevent just such malfeasance and chicanery. But since Glass-Steagall was repealed, another one of the squibs in the orchestrated deconstruction and collapse of the American and then global economy, those mortgage-backed securities were allowed to pollute all of the savings and retirement accounts, essentially, virtually all of the world. So, again, having kind of a unique understanding and seeing those things, I don't have a problem watching the video and feeling underinformed or uninformed. But there is more. There is more on each one of those points. The key issues that the video addresses are important, but it's more important, I think, to dig into those and to find out more about what happened and not be drawn into the further balkanization of our people, you know, not to be drawn into a class warfare, the bourgeois proletariat discussion, perhaps, because part of what's happening here in America with the propaganda war that's being waged is classes obviously being pitted against one another, a civil war type scenario being fomented, and all manner of division being used to factionalize and balkanize the American people, not the least of which is this class warfare issue. There is an issue of oligarchy. This is not a new problem. And as I mentioned yesterday, during yesterday's broadcast and before, obviously, Andrew Jackson is one of the loudest voices who spoke out to raise awareness on the issue of this kind of corruption. And if the American people, each one of us, didn't remain eternally vigilant, as he said, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and we must pay the price if we wish to secure the blessing. If we did not do so, each one of us, then this would be precisely the issue we would encounter. Sure, the intriguers, as he put it, intriguers was a word that Andrew Jackson used, the intriguers would find a way to hijack our finest institutions and harness them for their own malignant ends. And that's what has happened. So it's no surprise, and it's not a new issue or discussion, but this Marxist class warfare in America is a fairly new development, and we need to resist the call to rise up and, you know, workers of the world unite, all that nonsense, all that Marxist rhetoric. We need to be very cautious of that, because in the same fashion that Karl Marx turned the French Workers' Party against itself, in reality, in fact, that is that kind of Marxist rhetoric is being used and perpetrated upon the American people to turn us all against ourselves and one another. So we need to be very, very mindful of that and vigilant and careful about not falling prey to that initiative and that kind of hijinks. It would be wonderful to think that we could actually band together and turn things around. But, you know, this is a global trend. And you can see, if you look around the world, the unification and the welding together of forces and people everywhere. So to turn things around would really be in contravention to the growing tyranny that has swept the world. But I think the world is looking to the American people in hopes that America will wake up. And it's interesting, you know, the oligarchs that are spoken of in the video and the technocrats in particular understand, and they are not mutually exclusive, obviously. Folks like Peter Thiel make that obvious. But with the information so readily available in still kind of the information age, the danger exists that the possibility that people could actually become fully aware and fully informed and see the magnitude of their plight. So if I had a prayer, that would probably be my prayer, kind of like Jonah's gospel. You know, I think that nothing short of a miracle will turn things around, but a miracle is possible. Jonah, the Bible says, he set out a day's journey through town. Nineveh was a 3-day journey, and he set out one day. So that clearly, even if it's not clear, in my opinion, whether or not he made it a full day, but whether he did or not, at best he made it a third of the way through town. Word got back to the king, Nineveh repented, and they had a biblical stay of execution, if you will. So it would be nice to think or imagine that America could experience the same kind of return from the brink of disaster. So with that, I want to get into the video again, mentioned by Fred yesterday. It's Empire, The Rise of the Oligarchs, published by Al Jazeera English, and that was a couple of years ago, in 2014. And again, I would just caution you as you listen, don't fall prey to the Marxist rhetoric of you know, this class conflict and this class warfare. There's more to the story. And as I was saying yesterday, ideologically, we suffer from a general schizophrenia that needs to be addressed before anything gets better. So we need to look to ourselves first, and before we start pointing the finger. Anyway, with that, let's get started on the video. Is that ready? Okay. All right. Yep, without further ado, here's the video, Empire, The Rise of the Oligarchs.
The top 1% of the top 1% grabs all the wealth. 85 people have as much money as 3.5 billion other people. That's the old news.
We're here to reclaim the house as the people's house.
Now the story is about power.
About the decline of democracy.
I think in many ways it's the American nightmare.
About the decline of the nation state.
The old idea of the nation state is crumbling around us.
story is about a small group of super wealthy ruling the United States.
Is this the rise of the oligarchs here and throughout the world?
Oligarchs? I mean, it's just...
I am Marwan Bishara, and this is Empire.
I like the best. Here's one.
The Rise of the Oligarchs. No, not Russia. The United States.
In fact, a controversial new study from Princeton and Northwestern universities concludes that America is now ruled by the interests of the rich, which of course makes us not a democracy, but an oligarchy.
America, taken over by oligarchs.
What do you mean?
It sounded like science fiction. We decided to speak to an economist, Branko Milanovic, who explained how financial power becomes political power.
In order to run elections, in order to win, as we know, you need to have extremely high amounts of money.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
and we went to Zuccotti Park, where the Occupy movement was born, to speak to one of its non-leaders.
You have to be approved by the people that have money. That's called oligarchy.
I mean, this is really interesting, like economics 101.
To get that money, you need to do what they're going to ask you to do later.
It sounded logical, but also extreme for the world's longest running democracy. So we went to Forbes, where they love rich people, where they're really serious about keeping track of them.
In the United States.
You think so? See,
I mean, the Princeton study have spoken about oligarchy in America because the political... this is the Princeton study, the two scholars from Chicago, and now they talk about...
I don't think that most Americans... I really don't. An oligarchy? I really don't. I think that... people in the academics, the media, but I think that most people in the United States don't think it's, you know, they talk about income inequality.
Right.
They talk about the super rich, but oligarchs, I mean, it's just...
Maybe the only way to discover the truth was to get our own pair of special glasses. And then we saw it. The Princeton study that said average citizens have zero impact on policy, except when they agree with the elites.
Sam Walton demonstrates the virtues of faith, hope, and hard work.
The heirs of Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, are clustered at the very top of the Forbes list. And if there's one company that symbolizes the changes in America, it's his superstores. So that was the next stop on our journey into the land of the oligarchs.
I got a beautiful feeling today.
Shame on Walmart!
Shame on Walmart!
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
All our respect!
Your workers!
All our respect!
Your workers!
What time is it?
Unionism!
What time is it?
Unionism!
Very pleased to be here. I truly admire your company. You know, and the more I learn about everything that you do, I'm inspired by what you all create every day.
So, of course, you know, welcome and all that to the show. And I actually have a whole bunch of things to talk to you about. But is the Walton Walmart story, is this an American dream or is an American nightmare unfolding? Which one is it exactly? What do you think?
I think in many ways it's the American nightmare. You know, people being paid very low wages that they can't support a family on, that they can't support themselves. And you know, Walmart is the a leader in creating this type of low-wage job. But it's not just Walmart. Our economy is generating many more of these types of low-wage jobs than of middle-class jobs.
Well, actually, I think it's a triumph for far many more people, the tens and hundreds of millions of people who actually shop at Walmart. And the whole point of Walmart and so much of our economy is how much we drive down the cost of essential goods and services. So the cost of clothes, the cost of food, Walmart delivers these products to consumers more efficiently. And so there's been enormous wealth creation for those people who now can buy the same goods and services that they need to buy every day at a lower price.
And they are shopping Chinese products.
Well, yes,
products manufactured in China.
And what's wrong with that? So, you know, one of the things, we talk about income inequality, but we forget that actually income inequality around the world is narrowing because a billion people have been lifted out of poverty in the last 10 years. And a large part of that is because people in China and India are making products that we buy in this country.
But the things that are actually so basic and necessary to a good life in the United States, healthcare, education, housing, I mean, those things have not gotten any cheaper. They have only gotten more expensive. And
so let's focus
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum LD. How about some fat burners or maybe some joint aid or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Smart worker cannot buy those things, and the wages of many, many workers in the low-wage economy is modeled by Walmart. They can't do that either.
So is the disparity between making a fortune that's worth about $140, $150 billion, and people getting paid $8 an hour, That's not exactly an American dream.
No, but see, but you're, again, you're not taking into account the billions of dollars in wealth creation that's come from the fact that all those hundreds of millions of consumers can spend less. The cost of things like education and healthcare has gone up and up and up in this country. And so middle-class people can not as easily afford those services and goods as they could before. That's not because wages are low.
If you factor in inflation, salaries are lower today than they were in the 1970s and 1980s.
You can't just look at wages, right? The disparities or the way you think about mobility and income, it's not just wages. There are taxes and transfers, right? So there's been enormous growth in the transfer economy. People pay taxes who are wealthy, and that money is transferred to lower income people, so there's some redistribution.
The 1% in this country has enjoyed 90% of the economic gains of the recent recovery. So, I mean, in comparison to the wealth generated in this country right now, wages are certainly low.
The 80s onwards.
Yeah.
And that's when the real thing took off.
Yes, that's certainly when it
became. So globalization really was the engine behind the success of Walmart?
Yes, at that point, yes. It was quite successful. Successful, you know, on a regional and, you know, sort of southern level before that. But yes, it did become the global phenomenon that it is now because of globalization.
The left sees globalization as a sinister force that creates oligarchs. No. What globalization does is it allows people in places like India and China and Vietnam to make goods that people in America can buy.
But these are not mutually exclusive. I mean, it did create oligarchs throughout the world.
It's more important that we lift people out of poverty than whatever the fact that the Waltons have $150 million is a necessary byproduct because they are the ones who created the mechanism for lifting.
It's a necessary byproduct?
Absolutely. The government agencies can't create a Walmart. You have to have a private corporation that has the initiative to do these things, that has the incentive economically.
I mean, as much as globalization is important to the Walmart story, the hierarchies within the United States have contributed incredibly to the business model as well by making it so easy for Walmart to exploit cheap labor at home. I don't think that Walmart could have been as successful without the phenomenal exploitation of its workers at home in the U.S.
So, and some of them are collecting food stamps, I read?
Of course.
The actual employees who work 9-to-5 jobs collecting food stamps.
Oh, yeah. And Walmart gives them the papers to sign up for food stamps.
So this idea that you're only on food stamps if you're some desperate, starving person, that's not true today. We spend 73 billion dollars a year on food stamps, and it's quadrupled. Not because poverty is quadrupled in this country, but because the program has quadrupled. So it's important to understand that just the term food stamps, a lot of people.
But you surely agree that poverty has a new modern sense. So it's not about starving.
Well, but there's a huge amount of transfers and redistribution in the U.S. system that go to alleviate whatever income inequality is there. And part of it, again, is the lower cost of goods. You can buy more things if those things are cheaper. And so if you only focus on wages and you don't focus on taxes and transfers and you don't focus on cost of living, you're missing an enormous part of the story. And Walmart has been a great force for good in this economy. And that is...
This land is their land. This land ain't ours, friend.
How did this come to be? Is it just globalization, or is there more?
The halls of Congress, you know, I'm fairly certain, are bought and paid for by Halliburton.
Over the past 25 years, a sophisticated campaign has been waged to privatize government services.
Well, in Tennessee, it's trash collection. In Ohio, it is the state lottery. In the border states with Mexico, it is the private prison.
The theory is that corporations can deliver government services better and at a lower cost than the government.
The Waltons love charter schools. The Walton Family Foundation has invested more than $1 billion.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Milton Friedman Choir.
For every taxpayer dollar spent on federal programs, over 40 cents now goes to private contractors.
Defense, the monopoly on violence, is considered the very foundation of of the nation. And yet,
companies like Halliburton and Blackwater have made billions performing tasks that used to be done by our nation's military forces.
The most controversial figure in the privatization of the military is the founder of Blackwater, Eric Prince. So that's who we went to see.
Let's go back to the beginning. Here's a young man who comes from a wealthy background, joins the Navy SEAL, leaves the Navy SEAL, and then somehow forms a company that reconnects him to the military? What happens there?
You know, I never really started the Blackwater business to be a major company. I thought it would be a good shooting club, almost like a country club for SEAL teams to use. No, really. No, we built the facility to train 100, 150 people at a time, tops. And then things changed. We had the USS Cole, Columbine, the terrible shooting at that high school. You know, after Columbine, we ended up training tens of thousands of police officers in a different paradigm, because before, when a terrible event like that would happen, they would surround and negotiate. But that's not the answer. When you have an active shooter trying to kill innocent people, you have to get in and stop the problem. So we built a mock-up high school on the compound and did that. When you have private dollars, private capability, that you can see the problem and move immediately to solve it or provide a solution for your customer, it works. That's the American way.
The big opening for you, the big break, came with the war on terror.
Our customers that have been coming to us for training were then tasked with operating overseas in a much, much bigger way. And so they took us with, because we had the mentality, the capability to operate in difficult places and to assist them whatever they needed. It was a job to keep diplomats and reconstruction officials alive so they could help put Iraq back together.
It's war.
Well, yeah.
And you get paid big dollars.
It's dangerous.
For it.
And our people were asked to do the most dangerous work, you know, on Earth.
And hence you were involved in shootings.
Unfortunately, sometimes we were attacked and our guys would have to use their weapons. I mean, we weren't issued air rifles. They were issued real rifles. Because
you got a lot of beatings for that.
We certainly became a political hot button.
But is it because you were targeted because they didn't like you? I mean, after all, you are a patriot. You're giving a service. You're efficient. So why is the government upset?
Some of our men carried weapons, and sometimes they had to use them. And so it made the absolute perfect target for an angry anti-war left to go after us.
And you felt betrayed. But before we get to that, I want to talk about, you actually settled. You paid $49 million to the State Department. You've paid $7 million to Justice. For someone who pays $50 million in fines of sort or settlements, I mean, there was wrongdoings. Even your co-author, Max Boot, says that you've admitted to a lot of mistakes.
You know what? When you're asked to do significant, fast, and dangerous work for the U.S. government, we grew very quickly. Sometimes mistakes in paperwork could have been made. Some of those mistakes I don't regret. You know, if we have 30 sets of body armor that we need to get to our men in Baghdad working for the State Department, keeping them alive in Baghdad where people are trying to kill those State Department diplomats, and the paperwork isn't done to ship the 30 sets of body armor because State Department takes so long to process them, I don't regret sending the body armor, making sure that my people are alive. To continue to do the job. And that's the kind of nonsense that State came after us for. It was an absolute political witch hunt at that point, and they were looking for anything.
But the State Department is not left-wing radicals.
They were certainly driven by the far left in Congress, and it absolutely was a witch hunt.
So suddenly, we move from the first Gulf War to the second Gulf War from 1991 to 2003, and instead of being approximately 1 to 60 contractors, now we have 1 to 1 contractor versus foot soldiers. That's quite a change. That's quite a transformation of the way America fights its wars.
It certainly is a change, you know, because the first Iraq war was not a counterinsurgency.
So why are you guys better than them in the asymmetrical warfare?
Well, they didn't have the numbers.
You're civilians.
But the U.S. government did not have the numbers to be as many places they needed to be. They didn't have the ability to spool up that quickly to provide it, so they turned to the private sector. Just like if you need a car for the weekend, you rent a car.
does it make it easier when you guys are available for wars to happen rather than if anyone has to institute a draft? You make it easier and apparently more efficient.
Private sector capability is essential. It's quicker to come online, and it's quicker to turn off when you're done. And now, it's very important. The U.S. government writ large spends way too much on everything. I think one of the ways they can get a handle on defense overspending is you're turning to the private sector and seeing what would it cost the government to do it versus what will cost the private sector.
If you were to remake, or if you make the American military from scratch today, based on today's conditions, it would look radically different, right?
Well, there's just a lot of overhead that you could lean out, certainly.
And you would make but it, I think, you I would think outsource it much more.
Again, let competition dictate where the private sector can add value or not.
But you don't think it's patriotism that should be the number one factor? Discipline, loyalty,
excellent customer service, whatever that might be, are all essential pieces of it.
But corporations don't have to sacrifice. Corporations don't have to have loyalty, especially not in this day and age when everyone is multinational.
I guess some activities could be limited to U.S. companies only, staffed by American citizens.
You were asked in 2007, you said, why don't you say in Blackwater that you are and will give services only to American or American-approved companies? You said that would be just redundancy. But you moved a long way since 2007.
Sure, but everything that a U.S.-based company has to do has to be licensed and approved by the State Department, so they can't just go off and do it anywhere they choose to.
Everything you do in Hong Kong or whatever, you don't have to give us any detail, but everything you do now is approved by the State Department? No.
No, but it's not. I'm not working for a U.S. company anymore.
So let's talk about that. So the arc sort of kind of makes its way from a young man joining the Navy SEAL, God, military country, to a guy feel bitter and betrayed, to now a guy whose his critics say he's betraying the country. He's working for the competitors, even perhaps the enemies. Are you a traitor?
Certainly not. You know, we based on a company in Hong Kong because it's really the center for Asian capital flows. Asia has the need and the desire to invest in the frontier markets of Africa.
China, you mean?
China.
Welcome for China in Africa. That's
China, India, major mining concerns out of Australia.
I have no doubt. But Eric Prince, within a dozen years, have made a huge turnaround from being the young man in the Navy SEAL and then putting together a corporation against all odds to serve the American military into a guy who is global, working perhaps for the competitors or for the nemesis overseas in Africa. That's a long way. And for what? For profit?
Look, having built a business from scratch, built it on its merits, performing an excellent job, serving the country, and having it wrecked by politics is a most disagreeable experience.
Having it wrecked by politics?
Absolutely. Eviscerated.
You paid a bit of a settlement. Why did you?
Eviscerated.
People go through much more difficult things. They don't leave the country.
When you have members of Congress telling you, "We don't care what you guys do, but we're going to ride you until you're out of business." Okay, so you learn that lesson and move on.
So you felt persecuted.
There was certainly left wing members of Congress that were out to drive Blackwater and drive me out of business.
So you left, but the private security companies around Washington have proliferated. How do you feel about that? What do you think about that?
In all sectors, whether it's information technology or staffing and all the rest, if the private sector can say, all right, we're gonna free up the space and replace 10 guys with 3 guys, that makes sense because you have to have cost savings, efficiency, and the flexibility.
But now you're talking like a businessman.
I'm talking like a taxpayer.
Fine, like a taxpayer. I'm talking to you now as someone who has crossed from the national to the international, and from the military to the civic and back to the military. So you are really at the fault lines of a number of these fields that are transforming the world and that are transforming the way we fight. More than ever before, these are intertwined. What does it say now that you can get a company, an army for hire?
I don't know that you can get an army for hire. I don't know anyone that has one of those sitting on the shelf. Armies cost a lot of money.
So now when China can hire a folks that who were trained by the American military and the Emirates can hire such and such transnationality, what does that say now about how we fight and how countries deal with their securities?
I don't know. I mean, what I'm doing is not about going out to fight. It's about building an airfield, a road, a camp, a warehouse, a port facility. Security might be one part of it, but you know, the challenges in Africa is getting your stuff from one point to the other.
And there's a lot of money to be made there?
Well, I'm not doing it solely for fun or philanthropy. Yeah, I mean, I just did a hard trip. I was in a lot of countries in a very few days. So I am trying to build a great company again.
From denuded forests to polluted waters, this land was.
But is that the whole story? Does that mean we live in an oligarchy? We'll be back as our journey continues.
They have no loyalty. The notion of a U.S. company or a U.S. bank is antiquated.
Free trade. It was as if the whole world was banging at the factory gates. It kicked the legs out from under American workers. It also destroyed American manufacturing. Collateral damage. Privatization. The old idea was to take money from those who could best afford it, to spend on what was good for the whole community, because that made everyone wealthier. Privatization means using the things that everyone needs, even justice, to funnel money from the many to the privileged few. But there had to be something more in the equation. Financialization.
The choosing of this space here, Wall Street, is the choice of where the 1% goes to work every day, where global capital is dictated. You have Goldman Sachs two blocks away. You have J.P. Morgan headquarters right over here. You have a lot of the top law firms that represent them. I mean, this is where the 1% of 1%, and it's symbolic, right?
The banks shook off the shackles of regulation. Their entrepreneurial spirits were unleashed.
You, me, let's try to make some money!
It was high times. It was a thrill. Maybe not if you simply had some sort of a regular job, but if you could speculate. Suddenly, it was all unraveling. Falling apart, crushing down. It was a terrifying time.
Now it has snowballed into what may be the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
Breaking news here. Stocks all around the world are tanking.
We're in the last days of this country surviving.
Would someone do something?
Since the crash of 1980s.
Who are making this?
I mean, at the time, who was it? Paulson? Right? People from J.P. Morgan, people from Citi.
Paulson was Goldman Sachs, wasn't he?
At the time, yeah. But he was a part of the government.
Can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Guard our financial system. I talked at length to the secretary about his recommendation on the decisions made to safeguard the city core.
It was a shocking proposal. There had never been anything like it. A $700 billion bailout.
Given the situation we are facing, not passing a bill now would cost these Americans much more later.
It was to save America, to save the world. That's what we were told. Is that what happened? We went from Wall Street to Washington to speak with David Rothkopf, author of Superclass, The Global Power Elite and the World They Are Making, and Naomi Prince, author of All the President's Bankers, the Hidden Alliances That Drive American Power. She used to be with Goldman Sachs, the same place that Henry Paulson came from, and that's not how she saw the deal.
What happens is, you know, Goldman wants its money back because AIG is protecting its investments, right? And AIG doesn't have money to do it. And Goldman's like, give me money back because whatever it is you're doing isn't going to work. We want our money back. And the system starts to implode. And then Hank Paulson gets a call from Lloyd Blankfein, and he's like, you know, we've got some serious, you know, multi-billion-dollar exposures here. Do something.
Right.
And then Hank Paulson gets on his knees. I'm summarizing before, you know, Pelosi, et cetera, and then says, you know, we need a congressional bailout.
Purpose of the steps I've outlined tonight is to safeguard the financial security of American workers and families and small businesses.
The idea that this was done to help people or to save the U.S. economy from the catastrophe, which is the word he's used, was just a lie, really.
Classic case of the Federal Reserve helping big banks get bigger, while at the exact same time, Main Street was doing terribly. Local banks, community banks, family businesses are failing, not able to get loans, community banks failing, small businesses can't get capitalized.
That wasn't the end of the deception and sleight of hand.
We knew that the Fed was engaging in significant unconventional policies. The actual data pertaining to who received the benefits was hidden.
I wrote you a letter and I said, hey, who'd you lend the money to? What were the terms of those loans? How can my constituents in Vermont get some of that money? Who makes the decisions? Do you guys sit around in a room? Do you make it? Are there conflicts of interest? So my question to you is, will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars? Will you tell us who got that money and what the terms are of those agreements? Tell us who they are. No.
This was all, for the most part, hush-hush, although it was going on under our noses, because you could see the numbers, just not where they're at. And eventually it got to the point where, I believe, Bloomberg and Fox News had to sue the Federal Reserve to release this information.
They're the numbers the Federal Reserve said were too dangerous. Numbers that for the first time reveal the staggering sums the world's biggest banks borrowed from the Fed. To get these numbers, Bloomberg fought the Fed all the way to the Supreme Court.
It's 26,000 pages, right, initially is what it is. So what we decided to do was just to add them all up, just stop and add them up. And when you add them up, you get up to something like $29.616 trillion. It is shocking, justifiably. I mean, U.S. GDP, $16 trillion, right? You know, I mean, $29.616 trillion.
You have to be a large, greedy, reckless financial institution to apply for these monies.
there were only two criteria to get in on the action. You had to be in the finance business, and you had to be big.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin is the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.